Praise the Lord. We go on to another name of God, and this name of God is called Yahweh Elohika. I am the Lord thy God. Or I am the Lord your God. Yahweh Elohika. Shall we pray? Father, it is the purpose of the scriptures to present you as the Lord who is our God. That you want us to know and understand that you have opened yourself to us as the Lord your God, so that we may know you and love you and belong to you, Father. That, Lord, it is your purpose, O God, to make yourself known to us, to cause us, O God, to come to see you, to know you, to love you, to belong to you. It is your purpose, O God, that we will treasure you and worship you, O God, as the be-all and end-all of our life. It is your purpose, O God, for us to see the awesomeness of who you are and all that you are, so that we will take, O Lord, delight, O God, in fearing the Lord, in worshiping the Lord, in loving the Lord, in obeying the Lord our God, in serving the Lord our God, in trusting the Lord our God, in clinging to you, in trembling in awe at your word. It is amazing, Lord, that it is your purpose to make yourself known to us, Lord. For who are we, Lord? And where have we come from? But Lord, you have chosen to love us. You have chosen to wash us in the blood of the Lamb. You have chosen to save us. You have chosen to heal us. You have chosen to deliver us. You have chosen to bless us. You have chosen to anoint us. You have chosen to give us an eternal purpose, Lord. You have taken us from out of bondage and brought us unto you, Lord. So we pray that you will always be, O God, Yahweh Elohika to us, Lord. That we will understand you, O God, as the God who is a personal God to us, Lord. That we will not take that reality for granted. That we will not have, O God, other gods before us, Lord. That we will not take your name in vain. That we will always know and understand, Lord, that you are the life. And it is our purpose to discover and express you, O Lord, in every facet of our being, in thought, word, and in deed, in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms, in heart and mind, Father, in spirit and soul. So bless us, Father, that we will truly know that the Scripture is an invitation for us to realize who you are and all that you are. We ask this, we pray this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yahweh Elohika, I am the Lord thy God. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, from verse 1. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God. I am Yahweh Elohika. It is amazing that God makes a statement, I am the Lord your God, and it is a name. It is a manifestation of his name. That God would seek to open his name to us in a personal reality. I am the Lord your God. By name, I am the Lord your God. By name, by who I am and by all that I am, I want to be the Lord your God. By who I am and by all that I am, by all that is in me, I want to be your God. Now that is what God means by love. But that's a love that we can't comprehend. We can only comprehend it as we see God. Because it is only when we begin to see God in his glory that we will come to understand the awesomeness of the God who is the creator and sustainer of the universe, wanting to be the Lord your God. Yahweh Elohika. So in verse 2 he makes a declaration. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And so we all here, a people that God has brought unto himself. He has brought us to himself by planting a seed in our hearts, the seed of Christ. And he has made himself alive to us. In this passage, he comes to the people of Israel by law and by manifesting himself in his glory in the Mount of the Lord. And the people see him. And you see in chapter 19, verse 16. So it came about on the third day, when it was morning, that there were thunder and lightning flashes, and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mountain quaked violently. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down, warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." So it is against this backdrop that God speaks these words. It is against the backdrop of seeing God actually manifest a little bit of himself in thunder, lightning, in a mighty shaking, in an awesome demonstration of power. And the children of Israel trembled before God. But God presents himself as, "I am the Lord your God. I am Yahweh Rophik, Elohika. I am the Lord your God. I am Yahweh Elohika, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Verse 3 says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." So God presents himself, and he is jealous for his name, because he has brought a people before him sovereignly by his own hand, and he has chosen to present himself to them as the Lord their God. "I am the Lord your God. I am Yahweh Elohika." And make no mistake about it, he says, "I am a God who is jealous for his name. My name is holy, and I am jealous for my name." But there is more to this than just God declaring himself to be a jealous God. Let's just reconfirm this by looking at Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Verse 14. "For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God." For the God whose name is jealous is a jealous God. God is by name jealous. And Yahweh Elohika is a manifestation of God, and he is jealous for his name. But there are implications to what God is saying here, and we find them in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 1. Let's turn to that. Verse 14. "So the angel who was speaking with me said to me, 'Proclaim, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and Zion.'" Now, why is he exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and Zion? Because to Jerusalem and Zion, he has revealed himself as Yahweh Elohika, that he is their God. And he means to manifest his name in them and amongst them. He means to establish them in his own name. He means to establish them as a peculiar people unto himself. He means to establish them as a priesthood unto him. He means to establish them as a holy nation. They belong to him because he has chosen to reveal himself in an intimacy of being their God. So only with this peculiar people to whom he has chosen to reveal himself can God be seen as a God who is to be loved, as a God who is to be worshipped, as a God who is to be adored, as a God who is going to be life to them. And all this is a revelation of himself, and he's going to manifest that revelation of himself inside of them. And that's what the New Testament is proclaiming. So in Jesus Christ, in the seed of Christ planted within us, God is bringing us forth into an intimacy where we will come into a personal relationship with the Most High God. We are going to know God as our God, and we are going to know God as my God. And that's going to be our response to him. Now, the Lord our God has also got a name, Yahweh Elohimu. So the fact that you can say, that we can say, that the Lord is our God, that is by name. He is by name our God. And that reality, Yahweh Elohimu, is our response to Yahweh Elohika. Because God has chosen to reveal himself as Yahweh Elohika, you and I can respond in worship by declaring him as Yahweh Elohimu, our God. But God goes further than just being our God. He also wants to be my God. My God to each one of us. And in that reality, God declares his name, and he's by name, Yahweh Elohe. And that is by name. So you say, you know, we say, this is my son, right? This is my wife. This is me. But God says something that when you say, this is my God, it is by name. It is a title of God that he is your God. And that title of God is peculiar to you. That title of God is written into your heart. It is manifested in your light, in your life. It is brought out of your being. It is an expression of your being. So in the New Testament, you find that as the word of God is revealed in you, God has the intent of taking that prophetic word and making you a morning star. All of us. And he's going to make us stand in that position as morning stars by bringing us into a covenant of marriage. So in revealing himself as Yahweh Elohika, God is opening the doors for an intimacy that ultimately will lead to a marriage relationship. A covenant in marriage. Two hearts knitted together as one. And he will do that for us through the Lamb of God. So if you look at the book of, if you look at the Old Testament books, especially the book of Hosea, right? Let's look at that. Hosea, chapter 6, I think. God looks at Israel as his wife. God looks at Israel as his wife. Hosea, chapter 2. Verse 18 onwards. First line in verse 18, Hosea chapter 2, verse 18, he says, in that day I will also make a covenant for them. Verse 19, and I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in compassion. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, then you will know the Lord. What does that mean? Then you will know the Lord. Then you will know that I am your God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah. Chapter 54. Verse 5. For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. For the Lord has called you like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, even like a wife of one's youth when she is rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I forsook you, but with great compassion I will gather you. So what is the Lord trying to say here? Yahweh Elohika is a name that God wants to open to a wife, to one who will become a bride, to a people who will have the privilege of actually realizing the reality of loving God with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their mind, and with all of their strength. They will come to realize the reality of God with all of their being. Their entire state of being will be defined by their relationship with God. And it's a relationship in love. Now this is why when certain parts of the church say that you must go through an intermediary to reach God, it is such a sacrilegious teaching. Because it stands against the very fundamental revelation of God. That He wants to be your God. He wants you to know Him as your God. He is your God in personal, intimate terms. And He's going to reveal Himself to you in a unique reality that is personal to you. He will reveal Himself in a corporate reality to all of us. But there is a personal dimension to that that is unique to each one of us. And this is why the Bible says that you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image and fullness of our God, who has revealed Himself to us through Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, God is opening us to a reality of a relationship that draws us into the reality that He is your God. So when God declares Himself to be Yahweh Elohika, He is wooing you. And the ultimate purpose of that courtship is so that you will belong to Him. That you will have an intimacy with Him, and that intimacy is described as knowing the Lord your God. So if you go to Exodus 20, you will find that God opens the name Yahweh Elohika by law, because that's the only way in which He can come to these people. Because they do not know Him, they do not know anything about Him. They cannot come near Him because they are a sinful people. And so God approaches them, introduces Himself to them by law. And He says, based on this law, you can come before Me. Based on the observance of this law, you can come before Me. But God's plan is not to let His people relate to Him by law. God's ultimate purpose is to fulfill that law within them and make them come alive to Him in a personal reality. And that's the privilege of being a Christian. That's the privilege of looking forward to becoming a bride for the Lamb. Praise the Lord. All right? And if you look at Exodus chapter 20, you will find that God brings out what is commonly called the Ten Commandments. Right? He first talks about Himself. Verse 7, for instance, says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God, Yahweh Elohika, in vain. For the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." In the New Testament, you realize that the reality of the name of God comes to you through a witness that God gives you through the cross, a witness in blood, water, and spirit. So Jesus says, "I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world." So to be a child of God, to be born again, to be opened by the Spirit to the reality of God is no small thing. The problem today with us as Christians is we don't appreciate it. We take it for granted that we are Christians. We take it for granted that we are born again. We take it for granted that we are spirit baptized. We take it for granted that God is our God. So we say things like "Our Father who art in heaven," and really the words barely register on our hearts anymore because it's become a habit. But if you look at the context of the word and how God presents that name Yahweh Elohika, you find that the children of Israel actually told Moses, if he's going to speak to us like this, we don't want to hear him speak. You go and listen to him and come back. Because he was terrifying. But we have been open to a God who has come to us in love. He has come to us from the heart. He speaks to us in a silent voice. He doesn't thunder through lightning. I mean, if you have experienced an electrical storm, it's pretty frightening, isn't it? And if you can imagine, if God manifests himself, how it will thunder and how the lightning will manifest. After all, he dismissed Lucifer and one third of the angels with lightning, right? Right? Like lightning, they fell. So can you imagine the God and how powerful he is if he decides to manifest himself like thunder and lightning? But he's come to us in a different way. He's come to us in the gentleness of a quiet witness in our hearts. He's opening us to an intimacy. He's wooing us in an intimacy of the heart. He's wooing us in an intimacy that deals with our lives in very personal terms. I am the Lord your God. And when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you must understand that fundamental to the revelation of Jesus Christ is this reality that God is trying to explain to us. I am the Lord your God. And he's going to manifest that reality of being the Lord your God in a heart of flesh, which Ezekiel prophesied. I will remove that heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And that heart of flesh will be of the substance of Jesus Christ. And what do you think is the essential reality of that substance of the flesh of the Lamb? The essential reality of that is that God is your God. That he is not a theology, he is not a doctrine. He is your God. And he wants you to know him. He wants you to be in an intimate relationship with him. He wants you to belong to him. He wants you to be his own. He is exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and Zion. Who are the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Zion? We are a house on the hill, the mount of the Lord. And the law of the house is holy. What does that mean? From the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 12. And the law on the house is that everything on the mount is most holy. It is set apart unto God. Somewhere along in your Christian life, you have to make this decision. Do you want such a relationship with God? You know, when you look at the marriage of the Lamb, there are two kinds of people who are going to be at the marriage of the Lamb. There are the people who are going to be the bride for the Lamb, and there are others who are going to attend the marriage of the Lamb. Hello? So which do you want to be? Yahweh Elohika. I am the Lord thy God. I also want to be your husband. I also want to be your beloved, says the Lord. I want to be your life. I want everything that is you to be unveiled by me. That I will be the basis of your being. And so he declares his law. And he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But what he is actually saying is that your love for me will define your state of being in heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everything that is your heart, soul, mind, and strength will be defined on the basis of your love for me. And your love for me can only come forth in the reality of Yahweh Elohika. I am the Lord your God, and I have loved you with an everlasting love. And when you taste that love, you will love me in return. You know, the love of our husband is a unilateral love. He loves us. We become his wife on the basis of our response to that love. But he loves us. The sad part is there are so many amongst us who will reject that love and choose the world. That's why the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Because that is the essential choice that we will all make. Do I love God or do I love money and all that money can bring into my life? And many will choose money. Many will choose carnal prosperity. Many will choose, in spite of the evidence, that carnal prosperity does not give fulfillment to the human being. That rich and super rich people are rarely happy people, are rarely fulfilled people. Although they can buy everything that money can buy, yet there is something inside of them that can never be fulfilled by money. Because you are designed to realize Yahweh Elohika. It is in Yahweh Elohika that the human being understands his purpose. It is in Yahweh Elohika that the human being understands what exactly he is designed for. It is in Yahweh Elohika that we will understand that above all things that God is asking us, he's asking for that intimacy. And when we lose that intimacy, we have lost everything else. That ultimately when we stand before God, we are not going to stand before God because we are more gifted than other people. It's not because we are more accomplished than other people. It is not because we have done more things for God than other people. It is only because we have loved him. That's why when Jesus talked about those guys who said to him, "We did so many miracles in your name. We cast out demons in your name." And he said, "I know you not." They rejected the reality of Yahweh Elohika. They did not want the Lord their God. Because the demands of the Lord their God, the Lord who comes to you and says, "I am Yahweh Elohika," the demand he makes of you is this, that reality is to manifest to all of your heart, to all of your soul, to all of your mind, and to all of your strength. It is to be defined your state of being. I am jealous by name, but I am exceedingly jealous for the heart to which my name is revealed, the soul to which the name is revealed, the mind to which that name is revealed. The person who can function in the strength of that name, I'm exceedingly jealous for that. Now, if you have a revelation of Yahweh Elohika, you will understand that God will never forsake you. It would be absolutely impossible for God to forsake you. Because he means to bring forth that reality of making you alive to him. That whatever he takes you through in life, it is to deal with those things that keep you away from him. It is to deal with those idols that keep you away from him. It is to deal with those things that become a substitute for him. And this is how he's dealing with the church today. He's dealing with us and he's asking us, what is it that drives you? What is it that makes you a Christian? If you answer it is ministry, then the Lord will say, "That is not why I asked you to become mine." The essential question that God wants answered in each one of us is that, will you love me? Because unless you love me, you cannot discover this essential reality by which I have come to you. I am Yahweh Elohika, the Lord who is your God. I want to be your God. That is my perfect will. That is my pure, undefiled will. That is my highest will, to be your God. So it is a sobering thought. And that's why he mentions this reality of I am your God in three very distinct contexts. Okay, so let's read the first one. First he says, verse 2, I am the Lord your God. Exodus 20, okay. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. That means God says, I have done something that nobody else could have done for you. I brought you out of slavery to sin, and I brought you to myself. I have chosen to love you, not because you are a good guy, or because you have done things for me. I have just chosen to love you. I am your God. And because I want to be your God, I have brought you to myself. Therefore, you shall understand, you shall have no other gods before me. Because nobody else would have given you that freedom and liberty. Nobody else would have brought that change into your life. Nobody else would have been able to set you free from sin. Because sin destroys. It is destroying Satan himself. He is the victim of his own sin. Sin destroys. And the only one who can save you is the Lord your God. And so God says, I have done something for you, and you need to understand that and appreciate that. And I will not have any other God before me. I will not allow it, because it is not right. So the first thing you must understand, there can be no other gods before God. The second context in which he declares himself, right? And he then goes on to, no, in verse 3 he goes on to explain what it means to have no other gods. You shall not make for yourself an idol. Now Lucifer chose to make himself an idol. I will be like the Most High. I will make myself like the Most High. He took the God-given faith that God had developed in his life, and he decided to make himself like God. You find that in Isaiah chapter 14. Shall we just cross-reference to that? Right. Isaiah chapter 14. Verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. Verse 14, last line. I will make myself like the Most High. He actually thought he could make himself like God. So he took God-given faith and he mutilated it. He created an idol of himself. And he worshipped himself. He worshipped his abilities. And he worshipped what he could do for himself. The fact that he could say, I can make myself like the Most High God, means that he was saying that I can make myself anything I want myself to be. I am self-sufficient in myself. I am all-sufficient in myself. That is idolatry. So verse 4 of Exodus chapter 20, you shall not make for yourself an idol. Verse 5, you shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. He's jealous. He's jealous for himself because he is holy. And he's jealous not because of selfish reasons, because his name is holy. And he cannot allow his name to be mutilated, because that will ultimately mean the destruction of all of the universe. You understand what I'm saying? That God is holy, God is pure, God is undefiled. And God can never be defiled. That was the challenge that was fought out on the cross. The devil attempted to mutilate God. And God was not mutilated. So Jesus Christ rose from the dead because his spirit was found to be the spirit of holiness. Are you with me? So you and I have received the seed of Christ. And the essential ingredient of that seed of Christ is this reality of holiness unto God. And God is exceedingly jealous for Zion and for Jerusalem. Because we are those people that God has purchased, both Jew and Gentile. Purchased for himself. Purchased for his own purposes. Purchased in his own righteousness. Purchased in his own holiness. Purchased in the undefiled reality of his forgiveness. God opened a new door for us. Nobody would have forgiven us. We would not have forgiven ourselves. We would never have forgiven each other. That's one of our big problems today, is that we can't forgive ourselves. But God chose to forgive us. And when he opened that reality for us, he opened that reality on the cross. And when he opened that reality, he's jealous for that reality. And that's why the Bible says, if you defile your body, God will destroy you, because your body is the temple of God. So we are a chosen people. We are chosen on the basis that God has chosen to reveal himself to us. The third reality in which God says, you shall be my people, is this: you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Praise the Lord. Amen. The name of God is holy. We've done a series on the name of God, and we realize that God has taken all of those different facets of his name, and he wants to reveal it to us personally. He wants to develop the realities of that name within us and through us in immense detail in each one of our lives. That is an enormous undertaking, because we barely appreciate it. So right now we probably only intellectually appreciate what we have done in all of those tapes that we have gone through. But you must understand that ultimately it is God's purpose to actually reveal his name to us. That is his highest purpose. And you will find that that is where Lucifer sinned, because in Ezekiel 28 it says he defiled his sanctuaries. What sanctuaries? Sanctuaries of the name of God that were open to him. God revealed himself to him as Yahweh Elohika. And Lucifer defiled those sanctuaries. Sanctuaries of God the healer, sanctuaries of God the provider, sanctuaries of God the sanctifier, sanctuaries of God your peace, sanctuaries of God the Almighty. Whatever they meant, Yahweh Elohika is the basis for that revelation. And so God wants us to understand very clearly that in this witness that we carry, we are required to honor the Lord our God. And that's why the witness was developed through the cross. Because on the cross, Jesus defeated evil. On the cross, Jesus chose holiness unto the Lord. On the cross, Jesus chose to manifest the attributes of God and not respond to the attributes of man in anger and in judgment. So he opened a new door, and so God opens our hearts, planting a seed, and he wants to bring a people unto himself. And that is a great privilege. Right now we probably intellectually understand that, but God wants us to understand that it is a reality that he means to develop in our lives. And the moment we walk out of intimacy with the Lord, that's when we begin to be dry. That's when we begin to feel far away from God. And we go through periods like that. And we go through periods like that because it is in our nature to take things for granted. All of us have that problem. It is in our nature, right, to take things for granted. It is in our nature not to be appreciative. We can say thank you today and forget the thank you tomorrow. Somebody can do something good for us, and in a year's time we barely appreciate it. That's in our nature. So God is at work to make us alive to the fact that He wants to bring Himself to us as the Lord our God. The Lord who has given Himself for us. The Lord who has saved us by His own name and vindicated us by His own power. It's an awesome task that God has undertaken. And so, in Exodus 20, God just simply says, I took you out of Egypt and brought you to myself. But you know, that those simple two sentences or two phrases or whatever it is, or two lines, contains a universe of reality. It contains everything that God does with us by His Spirit every day. He did not just make us born again. He is battling with us to bring forth change in our nature and character, change in our thinking, to deliver us from our doubtful nature, to enable us to see that God is real, enable us to perceive that God is there. And it's not an easy thing, because we are people who are so focused on other things rather than God. We are all guilty of it, only the degrees differ. But God has chosen to be Yahweh Elohika to us. And one of the great revelations of Scripture is that God is actually pursuing us. He's actually working in us in more ways than we understand. He's been pursuing us for years. He's been trying to make sense come in our lives for years. He has pursued us for years. But in our Christian life, there will become a point where you must understand that God will only pursue you up to a point, and after that you have to make choices in response to Him. So don't lose sight of the fact that you have to make that choice to go before God. You see, when you make a choice, God knows that you can't fulfill that choice in yourself. That's why He says, I brought you to myself. Let's go to Exodus 19 to understand that. Exodus 19, verse 3. Exodus 19, verse 3. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. You know, in taking the children of Israel out of Egypt, God did miracles of an amazing demonstration of power, isn't it? A power that nobody else could have duplicated. Satan could duplicate a couple of those miracles in a small way, but in every reality, God showed that His power was immensely great. And then He just took it to a level that was higher than anything else. Even the high priests of, even the priests of the gods of Egypt said, this is the hand of God. They knew it was the hand of God. And the Bible records that. So God says, I took you and brought you to myself. So when you look at your Christian life and my Christian life, you will understand that every change that God has manifested in our lives is a miracle that nobody else could have done. All the religion and all the fasting and all the meditation in the world could not have brought the dramatic changes in your life and my life. Could not have done it. And so God says, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice, and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is me, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. So what is God saying? I want you for myself. keep my covenant, and I will reveal that covenant. In the New Testament, you understand that that covenant is being fashioned and formed in your heart and my heart. It is a covenant that is 100% the workmanship of God. We have seen the beginnings of it, and God is asking, will you respond to me? Do you want me as your God? Will you choose the fear of the Lord? Because the Bible describes the fear of the Lord as delight in the fear of the Lord. And God is saying that if you come to know me, you will have delight in your heart. Delight is ecstasy. The highest form of joy that we can have. But these are realities you can only discover if you draw near to God and if you taste and see Yahweh Elohika. So Yahweh Elohika is the God who wants to be known in an intimacy, a heart-to-heart relationship. Ultimately, Yahweh Elohika results in us manifesting and coming forth as a bride for the Lamb. And Revelation chapter 21 says that that bride will have the glory of God. What is the glory of God? His exaltedness, His magnificence. That bride will taste that sort of a reality of God, and it will have that reality of God alive in its own heart. And she will be a radiant bride. And she will be so radiant that the nations can walk in the light of her rising. Now, what kind of love is that? That other people can live because your heart is full of the light of the love of God. Nations can live in that. What kind of light is God talking about? This is what He means, that you and I are morning stars. But that reality of a morning star is a manifestation of love, brother. Love in holiness unto God. It's a holy love, it's a sacred love. It's an ecstatic love. It is a delight. It's a total liberty and freedom from sin. Yahweh Elohika. Amazing that God would want to do that. Let's turn to Jeremiah. Chapter 31. Familiar passage of scripture. And these are the words of Yahweh Elohika. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. So how is He talking to us? He's talking to us as a husband. Right? What is Yahweh Elohika expressing? The reality that He wants to be known. As what? Not as God, but as a husband. Are you listening? But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So I will be their God is the fulfillment of the reality, Yahweh Elohika. Correct? Amen. And they shall be my people, and they shall not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Now why can God say that? That He can remember, He will remember their sin no more? Because He is their God. Because they have Him in their hearts. And if they have Him in their hearts, He will save them because of who He is and all that He is. He will permeate their thoughts. He will permeate their state of being. He will permeate their hearts and their minds. He will permeate every facet of their being in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. And they will be perfect. They will be holy. Why? Because God is perfect and holy. How else are you going to be holy? Because by the law you are not going to make it. We already know that. We already know how we struggle to pray and how we struggle to do basic things in our lives. How we succumb to temptation and how we fall on our faces so often. We all know that. But if we don't discover Yahweh Elohika, we will continue to live like that. And that's no way of living a life. That's a miserable life. But Yahweh Elohika will draw us and He will become our strength. His love will become our strength. We will know Him in an intimacy in which we can draw from Him completely, continuously. And we will live. That is salvation. See, David understood that. The moment he sinned, he knew that. So you know one of my favorite verses, Psalm 54, verse 1. Save me, O God, by Thy name. Vindicate me by Thy power. Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. Right? He turns round to Yahweh, Hoshenu, and he says, create in me a clean heart. Huh? Do not take your spirit away from me. Wash me and cleanse me. Make me someone new so that I can tell others and declare to them that you are wonderful. So you find that after Revelation 21, Revelation 22 talks about the healing of the nations. Am I right? So if the bride does not come forth in the radiance of the love of her husband, we are never going to heal anybody's life. It is in our marriage with our husband that we are healed. Yeah? It is in our marriage with our husband that we are secure. That we ultimately realize that we are a new creation. We are the bride of the Lamb. We are a holy people. And we are a holy people because we want to be holy. Because the love of our husband has taken possession of our hearts. So the love of God controls us. Amen. So Yahweh Elohika is the God who is at the heart of covenant. The whole theme of Scripture is God wanting to make Himself known to us. The Bible is a love letter, we say that. It's a love letter, and that love letter is written by Yahweh Elohika. Praise the Lord. And Jesus has come to describe that love letter to us through the cross. And the Holy Spirit has come to work that love letter into our lives in practical terms. And then you will say, Abba, Father. So you see, this love of the Lord for us is a complex love. It has got many different forms of love. It's a love for a husband for his wife. It's a love for a father for his son. Yeah? It's the love of a shepherd for his sheep. It's the love of a provider. It's the love of a sanctifier. It's got so many different facets to it. Praise the Lord for that. Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for your desire, O God, to reveal yourself as Yahweh Elohika to us, Lord. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to enable us, O God, to be true to the name of God, unveiled in us, manifested in us in the name Jesus, in the name Yeshua. And we pray that we will understand that the name Yeshua is the manifested name of our God, that the name Yeshua has the intent of revealing Yahweh Elohika into our hearts, in substance and in witness. So that we will know that the Lord our God, He is our God. He is my God. And so, Father God, we ask you, Lord, to work into us, O God, a sense of purpose in the reality of who you are and all that you are. That, Lord, we will understand, Lord, that life is not about how many things we possess, or how famous we become, or how much wealth we acquire, how much recognition human beings give to us. that life is only measured ultimately in the reality of Yahweh Elohika, the Lord God who has chosen to reveal himself to us as Yahweh Elyon, the Most High God, as El Shaddai, the Almighty God, as El Gibor, the Mighty God, as El Olam, the Eternal God, the Everlasting God, as Yahweh Yireh, the Lord God who is our provider, as Yahweh Rohai, the Lord God who is our shepherd, as Yahweh Rophe, the Lord God who is our healer, as Yahweh Nisi, the Lord God who is our covering, our banner, as Yahweh Mukadesh, the Lord God who is our sanctifier, in whom we live, move, and have our being, in a living rest, O God. As Yahweh Shalom, the Lord God who is peace to us. As Yahweh Sidkenu, the Lord God who is our righteousness. That we are the handiwork of the righteousness of our God. As Yahweh Shammah, Lord, the Lord God who is always there. The eternal and abiding God. As Yahweh Hoshenu, the Lord God who makes us, Lord. So all of these realities of who you are and all that you are flow out of Yahweh Rofika, Father, or Elohika, Father. We ask you, Lord, to bless us in this name, that we will know that the highest purpose of our God is an intimacy that knows you and loves you and belongs to you. Because in this intimacy, we will become all that you want us to be. So bless our hearts, that we will understand, Lord, that you will neither leave us nor will you forsake us, because you have chosen to love us, and you have expressed the blood of the Lamb as a living witness within us, Lord. And therefore, Lord, you are exceedingly jealous for Zion and Jerusalem. Enable us to understand, Lord, that that is the reason why, Lord, you will never leave us, and neither can you forsake us. So help us, Lord, to remember these words, so that we will never turn away from you and look, Lord, for substitutes, cheap substitutes from the world, cheap substitutes of human creation, Father, cheap substitutes of human thoughts, Father, but enable us to receive your thoughts, for your name is about all that you have desired in your heart to reveal yourself as to us. We thank you for being Yahweh Elohika to us, Father. In Jesus' name we bless you. By the Holy Spirit, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise. Amen.